Welcome to Package, the official podcast of the Liquor Stores Association of Western Australia. Your host today, Peter Kapsanis.
Hello again. Thanks for your company. Welcome to another edition of Packaged. The landscape for buying takeaway liquor in the north of Western Australia has been transformed in the last 6 months, courtesy of the Banned Drinkers Register, or the BDR. Right now, there are more than 80 people on the register, from Onslow to Kununurra, which means you must show a valid form of photo ID before you purchase alcohol from a liquor store. As you've probably heard previously, the customer's ID is scanned at the point of sale, which talks to a secure cloud-based site and deciphers whether a person has a WA police-issued barring notice or prohibition order against their name. If they do, they can't buy the liquor. Scantec is a Perth-based company which has developed and harnessed the technology to ensure the BDR does what it's meant to do, and that is target problem drinkers. Scantec is also in the final stages of rolling out the BDR mobile app to give licensees greater flexibility. To tell us more about the scanning technology involved, we're joined by the CEO of Scantec, Jez Rafferty. Jez, welcome to Packaged.
Great to be back here.
Let's get straight into it. Scantec's been around for just over a decade, and you're probably well known for your work in the gaming and entertainment industry where people have to scan in or show their ID before they're permitted entry. You've now been contracted by the state government to roll out the BDR across the Pilbara initially and now the Kimberley, where it's just come into full effect. Can you give me a quick explanation of what it does, the BDR, and how it works using your core technology?
Yeah, very simple process. We put our very small kiosks in the liquor stores, and when a customer comes in and purchases alcohol, they simply provide their identity document, so a driver's license or passport, that's scanned by the liquor store employee, and very quickly that technology within a few seconds will check whether or not you're on a banned drinkers register that prevents you from purchasing alcohol, or in the areas that they have an alcohol management system, or TAMS as it's known, they'll check to see whether or not you have used any of your daily allowance up, and obviously if you've used any of it up, they'll let you know what remaining amount of alcohol you can purchase.
Okay, so the BDR, the straight up and down BDR exists in the Pilbara, and then you have the BDR and the TAMS combined across the Kimberley.
That's correct. And that's in line with the existing restrictions that already existed in the Kimberley before our technology was introduced.
Correct. So this sounds fairly user-friendly and simple, but is it complicated to make something simple?
It's incredibly complicated to make something simple. So, I think that's one of Scantec's real success stories. It's working with the end users and as well as the government, who are obviously endorsing and sponsoring this project, to really give a solution that allows both the end customer purchasing alcohol not to have that experience hampered or slowed down, to allow the business operator to make sure that they can still do their, you know, customer service and have a good experience, but also to make sure that the government can meet their requirements. So juggling all those three separate priorities and getting them to work smoothly is very difficult, but I guess that's what we've been contracted to do, and I believe we do exceptionally well.
You've been on the ground at the coalface physically installing some of these machines in both regions in more recent times, Pilbara and the Kimberley. What's been the reaction amongst the licensees and the venues and the community in general in terms of this rolling out and being in place?
Overwhelmingly positive. So I personally, yeah, as you said, did some through the Pilbara back in December and then recently up in Kimberley and Broome. And look, the feedback and the response from the business operators and the broader community is great, because at the end of the day, you know, they're part of the community as well. They don't want to have this small group of unfortunate people who have problems with alcohol, really making their community a less desirable place to live. So they're fully supportive. And even, you know, talking to people like Shire presidents and seeing council members, you know, directly come up and say, look, we're so excited to get this project live, and the great benefits that they expect to see in the community has been really positive as well.
The data, now that we're 6-7 months into this project, a few more questions are popping up about the data, the collection of the data. Who does the, is the data stored? Does, you know, the details of my license or my passport or my ID, when it gets scanned, where does it go? Who's got it? Who can access it? Who can use it? Who can manipulate it? Is it safe?
Yes. And there's a couple of ways why that's true. So, of course, at any time, any project that Scantec's involved, we use industry best practice to encrypt and securely store that data. Second to that, all of the data for this project that involves your personal information, you know, Peter Capsanis, is automatically and completely destroyed after 24 hours. What is kept is just anonymized data that allows the government to see the efficiency and success of the project. So in other words, taking, you know, you down from Peter Capsanis to a male who purchased some alcohol on a date. Completely, even if someone had access to the data, doesn't tell you anything except statistical information. But that's really important because we're having UWA do an independent evaluation of this trial, and they need a certain minimum amount of non-personally identifiable data so that they can give the government the results of that trial.
And that was my next question, because UWA is leading the evaluation process. As part of the evaluation process, do they extract the data, that statistical data, from the department?
So we are providing that statistical data on behalf of the government to UWA.
Okay, all right. And all they see is, like you said, a male, a female bought X amount of alcohol on such and such date, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Or the machines picked up X number of pre-existing or existing banned people on XYZ day.
And some of the stats you mentioned earlier are exactly the kind of stats that have been able to get together, and other information that the government has released as this process has gone on. So this many people have had their documents scanned. We've matched this many people who have a ban against them. All that data, it's completely anonymized. And in no way is it connected to the personally identifiable information, your driver's license details, which I mentioned earlier, we keep for a very brief 24 hours and then securely destroyed. Only that information is provided to UWA for that research. So it's completely safe, and it's really, really important because at the end of the day, this, I personally believe, obviously is a really great initiative, but it's always important for any of these projects where government money is being spent to really help improve a community that we make sure that we're doing it from a really objective place.
A couple of weeks ago, you went with Minister Whitby for the hard launch of the BDR and TAMS in the Kimberley. That also showcased a mobile app. Can you tell me more about that? That's going to be rolling out in a couple of months. What is it, and what does that mean for licensees?
So two parts. I might start with our piece first. So ScanTech, as I mentioned, for this project have been providing physical terminals. That's what we've been doing as a company for near on a decade now. What we've seen in and we've been developing over the last sort of 3 years, is how do we take that technology that we have in these physical terminals and make it available to everyone? And obviously the simple way to do that is through a mobile phone, because basically everyone has one. And, you know, for things like COVID-based things where you can't meet in person, really, really useful. So the government saw this unique technology that we've developed right here in Western Australia and realized quite early that some of the feedback about the BDR that could add some improvements was, for example, through drive-through bottle shops. Mm-hmm. What's happening in that process, obviously, as we all know, someone runs out to your car, takes your order, uses a mobile FPOS terminal to bill you. But unfortunately, because the terminals are kiosks, people are having to get out of their car and come into the bottle shop to scan their ID. So some really good feedback was, well, why can't we just have that kiosk where the car is? So when the government spoke about this, we said, well, this is this fantastic new technology we've developed here. We could absolutely make a version of that that's a BDR TAMS version, which means now when someone runs out to your car, first thing they do is ask for your driver's license. They use their mobile phone to scan that driver's license and replicate the same effect we have with our kiosks. Again, the same secure storage, and check whether or not you're on the banned drinkers register, or alternatively, whether you've hit any alcohol purchase limits for that day. So that's really going to, I think, improve the customer journey, as we spoke about earlier, but also from the business operator. It makes their business a lot smoother, and it's not interrupting what is a well-known and successful way of serving people in their cars. It's just making it a more seamless experience for everyone involved.
Your core technology, and this is revolutionary technology, your core technology revolves around the principles of instant identity verification. Sounds fairly simple to compute, but for my pea brain, what does it actually mean?
Look, the reason that's what our values and missions are really about is that what we've seen historically, and it refers back to your earlier question, is that a lot of these processes for verifying people's identities are slow and clunky, and they end up taking a lot of time for the customer and the business. So for us, instant identity verification is how can we cut that down to the absolute minimum. So within a few seconds, or if it's a more complicated verification of identity, might take a few tens of seconds. that everything can be done. No one else in the world has a technology that is as safe, secure, and accurate and as quick as our technology. And it's being developed right here in, you know, Subiaco, Western Australia.
Yeah. So are you working on anything else at the moment that can minimise businesses or consumers from getting, I guess, scammed, particularly on the back of, you know, the global pandemic, where we've seen a lot of people, a lot of fraudulent activity? There's been an explosion of new internet users from different demographics. How can your technology, how can instant identity verification technology produced and developed by Scantec here in WA help businesses and residents, consumers from protecting themselves from fraudulent activity, identity theft, and being scammed?
Look, there's many ways. Let me give you perhaps a bit of an example. As you mentioned, COVID's been an incredible disruptor, for want of a better term. And what we've seen is a lot of potential issues and potential solutions have been brought forward many years, literally. So what happens traditionally, let's say you're signing up for an account, a bank account, you request to sign a bank account and you have to go down to a physical branch and you show your identity documents. And then, look, that there are ways you can defraud that with fake ID documents, but at least you had to be physically present. You can only go to, I don't know, 5 or 10 branches a day. That's the max you can physically get to. What we saw during COVID, of course, is that everyone suddenly started working from home. Branches were closed. So businesses and the banks needed to be on board these customers. So they would just say, look, send us documents, emails, photos, whatever you do, send that over to us. We'll sign you up like that. Now, what that's meant is fraud's gone global now. So you can be in Manila, or you can be in Lagos, or you can be in London, and you can be sending fake manipulated identity documents saying you're in Perth or Sydney or wherever you are, and the banks are onboarding you. And what we've seen, and the UK is a great example, their fraud shot up literally hundreds of percent higher for bank fraud than it was in previous years. Now, of course, we've kind of got our head around working from home. We've kind of got our head around living with COVID. So now we're seeing all these businesses come to us and say, look, we know all these fraudsters are coming to us, but we also know we've got all these legitimate customers. We don't know how to separate the two. Our technology is allowing businesses to capture all these identity documents, to capture their faces, to make sure they're live and present, using facial biometric and other advanced technologies to detect where that person is. So we can tell you that they're in London when they're saying they're in Perth. We're putting that all together in a simple solution that in 40 seconds can tell a bank, this is a legitimate customer or this is someone trying to defraud you. So that's just one use case. Now you think about all the businesses that need to sign up people. We're talking about telcos. We're talking about, you know, as I said, banking services, gambling services, utility services, car hire, hotel check-ins. The list goes on and on and on and on. And all of these businesses now are saying, hey, let's turn the negative parts of COVID into positives. How do we accelerate our digital transformation and make it so a customer can seamlessly sign up, instantly identify themselves and verify themselves and be using our services within minutes, whether it's 2 p.m. or 2 a.m.? It's going to be a game changer for the customer. It's going to be a game changer for the businesses. But what we need in the middle is those smart technology companies that can bridge that gap to make sure that we can get this to work smoothly.
So like when you say smart technology companies, you're talking about yourself and Scantec.
Well, I'd like to think that we're in that category, yes.
So the vehicles by which you do that, you're talking about machine learning or artificial intelligence and facial biometrics, all, I guess, technology and skill sets that you currently adopt and have, yeah?
Exactly right. So look, machine learning is not just for us, of course, around the world, machine learning is increasingly becoming a key part of these technology offerings. And that's simple. Look, machine learning's got this really kind of, I don't know, exciting piece around it, but really machine learning is basically like having a million humans make a decision in seconds. So in many ways, it's the same way we think. It's the way that we look at things and we read things. But imagine having a million people you could ask a question of. If you ask a million people, does this look like that's fake? You'd probably get a pretty good answer, averaged out, where people would say, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's fake. I've seen what real documents look like, and that doesn't feel right. That's really what machine learning is about in very, very simple terms. Mm. But it's technology that, again, is very, very, very complicated. And you need really smart people in your team. And we've fortunately got a brilliant team working for us, making all these really complex things down to a machine learning, what we call a model, that just tells you in a split second, hey, this doesn't add up, or yes, that is exactly what we'd expect to see.
You had the minister come through your office recently as well, and you gave him a bit of a tour, the Minister Whitley, the Minister for Racing, Gaming and Liquor.
Yes.
So very pertinent.
And small business.
Yes, and small business. Was he fascinated? What was his feedback after going through your offices? Because I guess there was this overall impression or impression that you were just focused on the BDR, and you're not. You're involved in a wide cross-section of industry. So what was the takeaway for him?
Yeah, look, I think the biggest takeaway was really, you've pretty much nailed it. He sort of said, oh, I really knew how good you guys in the BDR, but I just didn't realize how wide-ranging your technology was and all the different use cases. So I think he was really excited, and probably from a couple of perspectives, obviously the BDR he knows on, but I think from his small business portfolio mindset, he could see his mind sort of racing and going, well, why aren't I connecting you with this area over here in our government department? Because couldn't that really help assist some of the issues we're having here? Why don't I put you in contact with this other person who used to work at this business, this agency, because that was a huge issue. So I think that was really great to see. And what you really want to see, I guess, from your elected officials, really saying, look, how do we grow Western Australian companies? And I think the other bit that he was quite excited about, and I think this is a broader government mandate, that, you know, we're known as a mining state, but there's so much more to WA than just being a mining state. There's so much smart, innovative technology companies coming out of here. And I really think that, the McGowan government is really looking to how can we accelerate these programs? How do we get this technology, not just being delivered around successfully to WA, but how do we get it to, you know, the rest of Australia and then pass there? Let's take this global, because there's no reason why we can't be. And we're starting to see more and more Australian global success stories. We just want to see, I think, all of us, more of them out of Western Australia.
Before we wrap things up, Chez, there's been a lot of commentary in recent months about having the need to be verified to open up social media accounts. Is that something that Scantech can provide? Is that something that's more than relevant in Scantech's case?
It's absolutely more than relevant. In fact, I was recently invited on Sky Television to talk about this.
I think I saw that. Yeah.
So that was quite exciting to sort of be, requested as a, again, quote unquote, expert in the identity verification field. But yeah, look, certainly what we're seeing, a lot, and, you're seeing some bad examples of it as recently as last weekend, where you're getting social media is being taken over by, let's call it, extremist mindsets who are believing that, government's out to, I don't know what exactly, but get you, or the vaccine is a hoax or it's a poison, or all this really, really unscientific thoughts. And the reason they're doing it is because they know that there's no ability for anyone to track them down. They're anonymous, and they control and they can do this stuff. Now, suddenly, I think if you were to actually flip it around and say, well, if you're encouraging violence or other dangerous behaviors and it's against the law, we know who you are and we can come and get you. That, to me, it's not about, I guess, Big Brother in that sense, but it's really about why in many other forums would you not be allowed to do this behavior and you'd have to admit who you are. But suddenly in social media, you've got this free right to be more than offensive, to be, encouraging criminal behavior.
Mm. I guess it's a fine line. It's one thing to have freedom of speech, either in person or in that social forum. But I'll take your point with if it's inciting aggression or violent behavior.
Yep.
I suppose you need to be responsible to an extent.
Free expression, which I am completely supportive of, doesn't go as far as, well, I just want to punch you in the face because that's me expressing my full self. Free expression is a very clearly constitutional right that Australians have and should absolutely have. But it's done in a sensible and safe manner. And at the end of the day, they talk about these huge numbers of people turning up. If you 1,000 people or maybe 10,000 people is really not an indicative of the 99% of people that want to, go about their lives safely, free from, free from discrimination and other behaviours. And again, we've seen it in UK recently where, extraordinarily talented soccer players because of their, racial background are suddenly being vilified because, bluntly, they lost a game of footy. Now, and I know that might not about their race, but I know as a man who loves his soccer, footy, that, losing that might be a big deal. But at the end of the day, these guys are played to play a sport. They're doing their best for their country. You miss goals sometimes. That doesn't allow anonymous bigots to go on there and, spew their hatred. if you want to talk sensibly about, well, their guy's crap because he's a bad soccer player, fine, put that in there.
So you're saying that everyone should be held accountable. So they should sign up, be verified, name, date of birth, photo, etc., and therefore you've got a license to use Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Is that something that you think is practical as we move on?
Not only practical, it's entirely achievable immediately. I can guarantee you tomorrow if any of these large organizations were told you needed to do this as part of your process, they're not going to turn away their billions of dollars in ad revenue for a cause. And look, you know, again, the big one for me as well, you know, I've got three young daughters, you know, only one of them sort of at a dating age, but, you know, things like, you know, your Tinder and other dating apps, you know, why aren't people held to account? Or even if it's at least voluntary, why aren't we giving the voluntary option if you want to be a person who wants to have your account verified? And then perhaps you can say, I only want to see verified accounts. It makes sense that people, you know, it makes sense that people are asked to be reasonable citizens. That's my belief. Not to make people have to be tracked by Big Brother, but to make them accountable.
We are moving a bit off the BDR.
We are a little bit, yeah, sorry. Okay. I'm a bit passionate about some of these topics.
Welcome to the Social Justice Podcast. Now, before
we're
wrap up...
We're morphing into that. We'll start next.
Before we wrap things up, Chez, you've spoken about loosely, but what other cross-section of industries are you involved in right now? So where do we see Scantic? What is Scantic involved in that we may not know about?
Look, telecommunications. Some of our biggest clients, you know, Telstra is one of our largest clients. We're also involved in cryptocurrency exchanges, very popular obviously right now, or can be depending if Bitcoin's up or down. We're involved in, you know, banking organizations. We offer our technology to property transfer, so conveyancing and settlement agents. We do things like for not really an industry as such, but for employer businesses who want to do right to work checks for their upcoming candidates to make sure that they have the right, you know, visa, for example, to work in Australia. So really, you know, if you've got a need and you say, look, I've got a customer or an employee that I really want to validate and make sure that they are completely right to be a client or to work for me, then our technology is basically applicable and really very much for people who want to do it, you know, very quickly and to not interfere with their day-to-day process. So that's a big part of, we haven't really covered of our technology, what we often see businesses come to us and say, we've got this manual process and it takes us a day or 2 days to do. And then we show them our technology and they literally say, what used to take a human a day or two, you're just showing me it's been done in 40 seconds. Sometimes they can't believe it. Sometimes it's sort of like the Wizard of Oz, like I want to see behind the, you know, behind the curtain, what's actually, you know, is there magic happening? And it's like, no, it's just really advanced technology that does all these steps for you. And it's just, once again, a computer can do something a million times faster than a human can. And that's a huge cost saver. A lot of businesses put our technology in and make money effectively because they're not having to hire all these people to do these really mundane and repetitive jobs. What they can do instead is use those people to actually work on ways to improve their business and to grow their business.
All right. And the Goldfields are coming back to the BDR. The Goldfields is expected to have the BDR implemented by the end of the year. We'll see. We're still waiting on the government to confirm that. And hopefully Scantic will be involved in that process as well. We'll wait and see. But again, another game changer in the in terms of targeting problem drinkers and harmonisation for Kalgoorlie Boulder and the wider Goldfields area. So we'll wait and see what happens over the next few months.
Yeah, look, I'm confident all indications that it's still going ahead. Obviously a election commitment.
Yep.
And we've certainly seen that the Goldfields region is very keen for it, as was the Kimberley and Pilbara region. So look, I expect to go ahead, as you said, like planned for the end of the year, whether that's not yet being confirmed or not confirmed. So look, hopefully I think it's something we'll probably be able to get back to you. I would expect in the next month or two with some much more hard information that I can provide you.
Yeah, hard data.
Hard data. Hard data, hard dates.
All right. Well, Chez, it's been interesting. And we've covered a lot of ground here, and hopefully our listeners have enjoyed it. Thanks for your time. Chez Rafferty, CEO of Scantic. We'll see you next time on Packaged.
Or the social justice podcast. But yeah, certainly we'll speak soon. Thank you.